John chapter 4 and verse 43. We'll read these verses. John chapter 4, verse 43. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. And our theme this morning is constrained interest to personal faith. Constrained interest to personal faith. We might ask the question, does any non-Christian, any unregenerate man ever listen to the gospel out of love to God and to glorify his name? And the answer is simply no. Never does someone who is not born of the Spirit listen to the truth for the right reason. If a man is not born of the Spirit, he does not love God, and he doesn't listen to the word of God for the high motive of God's glory. But if he is interested, it is often out of self-preservation. And yet, it can be the case that such unworthy motive becomes, by the blessing of God, true faith in the Lord Jesus. Saul of Tarsus was breathing out threatenings and slaughter when he was apprehended of Christ. No doubt many have read the account, the incident in the life of Whitfield when he was preaching, and under the platform was hidden a man who'd come along with stones and rocks to throw and break Whitfield's head. But while he was there hiding, God broke his heart and he became a believer, a convert, following the Lord Jesus Christ. The point is this, that under the word, the Holy Spirit works. And when there is truth for the new nature to reach out and lay hold of. So don't be discouraged if someone's interest is a constrained interest at first. Perhaps not a very impressive reason for hearing the word of God, but they may, by God's grace, be changed, and their interest will become saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was so with the woman of Samaria. You remember when she came to the well, her interest in talking to the Lord Jesus was not very God-honoring. She didn't understand what the water of life was, nor the Saviour that she needed. But she left the well a new creature in Christ Jesus. And it seems here that there is this kind of progression. There's certainly progression that this man came with one view of Christ and went with another. This does not mean that we pander to the wrong reasons why people listen to the gospel, or at least the lesser reasons why they listen to it, but we do not despair of faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. First of all then, where Christ is least acclaimed. Where Christ is least acclaimed. Verse 43. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honour in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. Now, this has caused some difficulty. The reason he went into Galilee is given in verse 44, and it seems incongruous with verse 45. They received him when they saw the miracles. But the best explanation is the simplest one. Christ did not want to cause a precipitous crisis with the authorities until his hour was come, and his hour was not yet come. And so he went to the place where his acclaim would be least, that is, home. Yes, they welcomed him home, the local boy who had become a miracle worker. They were impressed in that sense. But their familiarity with him since boyhood, despite his perfect life, meant that they succumbed to a special temptation. They were offended at him. We read that in Matthew's Gospel, it's in Mark's Gospel as well, Mark chapter 6 and verses 1 to 6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. So they were offended. Yes, they welcomed him back, but they were still offended at him, offended at his claims, offended by the fact that they thought they knew all about him, and therefore they dismissed the claims that he made for himself. Familiarity bred contempt. And not even the holiness and the power of Christ and his works, not even that prevented this offense. If it's true of Christ, how true of imperfect ministers and Christians and of that gospel for which they stand? Even here, in the so-called Protestant community, the nominal Protestant community. The attitude, if we've heard it all before, we don't need this. And who is he to tell us? But it's the truth of God. Familiarity should produce gratitude, not contempt. In the family, how difficult it is to bear testimony to those who are close to us, who may be outside of Christ. Who do they think they are? Where did they get these big ideas? But the children growing up in a Christian home, we have good hopes of you. But make sure that familiarity does not breed contempt. You see, the gospel is still the truth of God. It's still the word of the Lord. And personal faith in Christ is essential. It is this truth which perhaps you hear of every day. This truth that Christ will own at the last day when he divides the sheep and the goats. This truth. And this man then was of the Galileans who were so familiar, they thought, with Christ that they wouldn't take it. And this is at the beginning of the great Galilean ministry. Well, secondly, forced attention when in a tight spot. Forced attention when in a tight spot. Verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. This nobleman was a courtier, it says that in the margin, and he may well have been courtier to Herod Antipas. He had heard of Christ's miracle working and his power. Remember in chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. In chapter 3 and verse 2, Nicodemus says to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. In Cana itself, he had performed his first miracle, but he'd done others in Jerusalem. And so his reputation as a miracle worker was known. And this man needed someone who could perform a miracle. Maybe this man, Jesus of Nazareth, would fit the bill. He needed a miracle worker. And the Lord Jesus was a miracle worker. But his interest probably went no further than that, to meet his immediate need. The woman of Samaria, more mundane in her needs, but she looked for someone who could meet those mundane needs. This man has a much more desperate problem, a more immediate crisis. He looks for someone who can help with that crisis. And so he came to the Lord Jesus from Capernaum. He came into Galilee. But this man had a utilitarian view of Christ. Christ could be of use to him in healing his son. And so he went to him. But he didn't realize to whom he was speaking. And he set limits. He limited the Holy One of Israel. First of all, he thought our Lord Jesus had to go to the place. He had to go to Capernaum, to the house, to the bedside of this boy in order to heal. As if he was limited by his space, by space, by location. Can contrast this with Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, a different occasion. Luke chapter 7 and verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. But this man, who came from Capernaum, he didn't think like that. And he didn't think that the Lord Jesus could heal at a distance, that he had to come down to Capernaum, to the house, to the bedside, to the boy. That was his first thing, that he limited Christ. But secondly, he thought that Christ was limited by death. You see in verse 47, for he was at the point of death, verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. His knowledge of Christ was limited, or his acknowledgement of Christ was limited to what he had seen and what he had heard. In Luke chapter 8, the chapter after we were looking at just now, Luke chapter 8, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign over death, verse 49. Luke chapter 8, verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one of the ruler of the house, the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. The person who came from the house said, It's a waste of time, it's all over. But Christ said, Believe not. Believe thy daughter will be made whole. And the Lord Jesus Christ pinpoints this inadequacy in the man's view of him in verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. A sign indicates the purpose of the thing. Christ didn't perform miracles. Miracles is a word which indicates powers, the display of divine power. Christ didn't perform miracles for no reason. There was always a sign, always. There was always a meaning, and a sign. It was telling them something. And they're called wonders because that's the effect they have. They cause wonderment on behalf of those who see them. But this man limited Christ to a miracle worker according to what he had seen and heard. He went no further than that. He learned nothing of his person, who he was. This man's religion appears to have been what we might call tight spot religion. Tight spot religion. Is that all you have? It needn't actually stay there. But is that all you have? When you're in a tight spot, you become religious. There are plenty of people like you. Religion is just a matter of convenience. When the pressure's on, become religious. Once it's off, well, back to normal. Remember the keepers who came to the tomb of the Lord Jesus? The earthquake, the angel of the Lord descended. And they became as dead men. Matthew 28. They became as dead men. They were terrified. And then later on the chief priests gave them money. And they did as they were taught. And said, his disciples came and stole him away by night while we slept. No doubt that's not how they thought when they were terrified, but it didn't last. Simon the magician in Samaria, in Acts chapter 8, he was so impressed that he professed the faith for himself. He was even baptized. But the mask slipped. And Peter said to him, thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity, and thy heart is not right with God. You remember in Acts 24, verse 25, how Felix trembled at Paul's preaching, but the effect was temporary. Acts chapter 25, Acts 24 and verse 25. And as he reasoned, that's Paul, of righteousness, temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. But it never came. He was awakened, he trembled. Some other time. But the time never came. So there was no lasting change for the better. No repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't have to be so. The Philippian jailer, you remember, he was ready to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And it was when he was assured, we are all here, do thyself no harm. It was then that he said, what must I do to be saved? He knew there was more to it than simply saving his skin with the authorities. There was something deeper. There was a need, even though all the prisoners were safe. It wasn't just the rulers that he had to face. He had to face God. And so the Apostle Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And he spoke to him many other words. And he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ for his everlasting salvation. So it is with this man, that he didn't stop. You might think that he would. You might think that with such a discouraging response, after all, the man was desperate about his son. Of course he was. Quite right that he should be distressed for his son. But Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Very discouraging for him. But he stuck with it. And that brings us thirdly, believing the word. believing the word. Verse 49. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Christ opens up new thoughts of himself. He opens up to this man what he had never thought about, that Christ doesn't need to come. He doesn't need to come to Capernaum. He can speak the word, and it is done. He does so not in the Lord's name, because he was the Lord. He was God incarnate. He wasn't simply an infallible spokesman of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. And he asserts his omniscience and omnipotence. I'll explain that. Omniscience means his knowledge of everything. Omnipotence means that nothing is too hard for him. And the man believed him. The man believed him. You might have thought this man said, well, I'd rather you came down. But he didn't. He believed him. He believed his word. Have you submitted to the word? Or are you still maintaining your own distorted view of Christ, your limited view of Christ, and indeed your limited view of your own need, as if all you need is a top-up, as if you're basically decent and good, and therefore God should be more or less impressed, but if Christ will do to make up for any shortfall. That's not it at all. Your whole life is an offence to God. Do you see that? Have you understood that? Have you grasped that? And Christ is a complete saviour of all who trust him. And that brings us fourthly to faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his house. The word was confirmed by the event. At what point this man came to saving faith, what his thoughts were when he journeyed homeward, we're not told. But somewhere he moved from desperation Christianity to the real thing. The question is, have you? Is Christianity just something that you turn to when you're in trouble? In other words, do you see yourself as not just having problems, but the problem of sin before a holy God who judges sin, who punishes sin, and that the Lord Jesus is the Saviour of sinners? This man started out desperate about his son, understandably so. But he ended up not only with a cured son, but he believed on him and his house also. Job, in the book of Job, talks about the hypocrite. Will he always call upon God? It can work both ways. Some people are very religious. When things are going fine, they turn bitter and twisted and so on when they are. With some, it's the other way around. When things are going fine, who needs religion? But when they're in a tight spot, then they cry out to God. But when the trouble's passed, they're back to their old ways. Are you seasonal like that? That you only call upon God when you're in trouble? Or you're only religious when you're in trouble? You must, like this man, move from that to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must abandon your self-centered religion and your wrong views of Christ. He's not just a pick-me-up. He's not just to make you feel better. Oh, he is a comfort to his people in the time of their distress. But he's not just that. He's the saviour of sinners. Have you realised your real need? Like the woman in the passage before this, the woman of Samaria. She realised she was a sinner and needed a saviour of sinners. Do you? And that none other than the God-man will do. The one who was God and who became man. Do you see yourself as in need of him who is God, and therefore his sacrifice is of infinite value, but who is a man, therefore he could be the substitute of men, therefore he could suffer and die on behalf of men, who took not the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham? Do you see yourself as in need of just this Saviour, that he is altogether a suitable Saviour for sinful men and women, and who bore the wrath of God in the place of sinners? This is the Christ that you need. Not just someone to make you feel better. Yes, he fulfills his promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, to his people. But that comes when we face up to the main problem and seek the real Christ, who can save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, we pray that we might all be found trusting in this Saviour, ascribing to him that glory which belongs to him. We pray that we might be strong in faith, giving glory to God, believing all that is written concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, and trusting him. Bless thy word to every heart, and take away our sin, and receive us, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.